Hello, girls and boys. We're back for another study on Noah's Ark here on The Last Christian Radio Show, a la podcast as well. I think we may be able to wrap it up on this one, maybe this one and one more show, because there's some exciting things right after it. And that depends on how many questions JD asks in the middle of all this.
Well, right, you know JD? Me. You know me, yeah. David. I am the question guy. For sure.
All right. I think the people love it, though, because they probably have the same questions.
And I hope.
That's, you know, me, I've been studying this since the 80s, so yeah, it's like I just expect that everybody knows it. Wait a minute.
Well, a lot of times I just ask a question because I feel like somebody would ask it. Mm-hmm. And other times I'm really curious, you know, really want to know the answer.
So. Nice. Well, are you curious about praying us into the study?
Oh, I'd be happy to do that for you.
Okay.
Father, we come to you and we give you all the praise and glory, and we appreciate this time together. And all we want to do is reach as many individuals as we possibly can with your word and give them the opportunity to accept the gift of everlasting life through your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we ask this in your name. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We agree. So you remember where in like 2 Peter, he talks about, you know, their, the people denying the flood, right?
No, I'm not. You're going to have to fill me in on that one. I missed that one somewhere.
Yeah, let me put up 1,000 years. Okay, and this is in the study of the 1,000 years is as one day. One day is as 1,000 years.
Okay.
Which is really good topic, but it starts off with these people, you know, deny the flood.
Okay.
And they're evolutionists. So I wanted to back up. It's in 2 Peter chapter 3. Mm-hmm. And we'll just stand right at the beginning. And it says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write to you, in both which I stir up your pure minds in way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, okay, of the commandment of us, the apostles, and the Lord our and Savior, okay? So here's the deal. He's going to remind us of what was spoken of by the prophets.
Okay,
great. So there's our setting. Knowing this first. So here's the first thing we know.
Okay.
That there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Now, we've heard this, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Everybody talks about the scoffers, but what are they scoffing about in particular? Well, a lot of different things. They scoff about the rapture. Mm-hmm. So, ironically, they're proving the rapture by scoffing at it.
No, creation itself, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the creation. And this is, but here's where most people just, they lean into this and saying in verse 4, where is the promise of his coming? Okay, so there we go. There's the rapture. Jesus is coming back. Oh, come on. Ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so they're admitting that there was a beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that all through time, people are saying, hey, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Which he is, and he still is.
Right.
Okay. And then obviously at the end of that, he says, well, one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like one day. So, right. Okay, we get that. So there's 6,000 years of earth history and then this 1,000 year reign of Christ, because that's specifically what this verse is talking about. But right smack in the middle of that, this is going to be the main characteristic of these people. And it starts in verse 5. So we're in 2 Peter 3:5. For this they willingly are ignorant of. So they do this on purpose. Okay. On purpose, they're willingly ignorant. They do not want to hear it.
Yeah, they refuse to learn. Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Okay.
That by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished.
Okay.
All right. So the whole crux of their ignorance, and that they do not want to admit it, is the fact that there was a great flood.
Okay. Yeah, I had, now, as you read that, I've got memories of reading it and reading it and reading it again, but it never really, I don't think ever really hit me that they were talking about the flood. I mean, the great flood, well, you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. I don't think I ever put that together, but it's clear now. Yeah. Okay.
Well, it says overflowed with water.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
They perished.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of a great flood.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm
All
with
right.
you now.
So it goes from the beginning. Remember in the beginning was, there was just water and mm-hmm. he hovered on the face of the deep, and then the earth came out of that. Mm-hmm. So edits the land, if you would, mm-hmm. came out of that. So it said it stood out of the water mm-hmm. and then it was flooded by water. Mm-hmm. So the whole thing has to do with all of this water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he goes on to the second half of that. But the heavens and earth, which are now by the same word kept in store, the same word, mm-hmm. same Bible, reserved unto fire against mm-hmm. the day of judgment and perdition mm-hmm. of ungodly men.
Yeah.
So they don't want to hear that they're going to burn.
No, I wouldn't want to hear it either. if I was one of them, I wouldn't want to hear that either. But it's coming.
Right. So now you can see why they willingly deny all this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they refuse to actually believe that they're going to burn mm-hmm. in judgment. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, they refuse to hear that they're going to burn. They got to refuse the first part, which is that there was a great flood.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can convince themselves somehow that the flood is a myth, they use that. Oh, the flood myth.
No,
it doesn't matter what you say, it still happened. So, but they're trying to convince themselves because they do not want to admit mm-hmm. that their judgment of fire is coming.
Right.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's why they're willingly ignorant. So when mm-hmm. you put this whole thing together, it starts to make sense. So there's going to be people, and here we are in the last days, and they're going to talk about evolution. And so evolution is, just like they said, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation.
Mm-hmm.
That's their model. Oh, this happened just millions of years and it just happened along this way. Mm-hmm. When that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says there's catastrophes all along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's why these things change. We have obviously the great flood. That's a huge catastrophe, completely changed the earth.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You got the long day of Joshua. Okay, mm-hmm. that flipped the earth over. We delineate our time, BC, before Christ, and mm-hmm. AD, Anno Domini. Mm-hmm. And they're looking to change that too. Oh, the common error, before the common error. Well, why is it common?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What delineates the common error from that? It's the fact that Jesus Christ was here. So he mm-hmm. changed history too.
Right.
So things don't continue as they were from the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay. Things change differently, including the decay rates of carbon-14, okay? Hydrogen halos, you see that. The mm-hmm. speed of light changes. It's not the same, okay? Mm-hmm. None of these things are the same, so you can't use them to measure how far back creation goes. Mm-hmm. The only thing we have to measure that is a historical written record that has been hammered for millennia and still stands true is the Bible.
Amen.
And the Bible says it was 1,656 years before the flood that the earth was created.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because it's listed every single, this guy, he was this age and had this guy.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was this age and had this guy. This guy. So you mm-hmm. can work that out.
Yeah.
And then you can work out.
That's mm-hmm. something I missed, David, in all of my study is, I looked at some of those early chapters of the Bible as really boring.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody begat them and they begat this and they begat. And I'm like, okay, can we get over the begatting and get to something good, And because I didn't understand it. Now, having worked with you as long as I have and, gotten into a deeper study, yes, I do understand it now. And it's not boring anymore. In fact, it's very enlightening. But it's something that I had always missed in the past, and I'm sure that a lot of people out there listening have too.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not even just, hey, he was this old when he did it.
Mm-hmm.
There's specific names. They have names, and those names are prophetic, and those names have meaning, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they named them for a reason. and the specific number of years that they had that kid who begat this and begat that have meaning. Every last one of them is prophetic. So, but we don't get that in the English. And that's that's the problem. You know, too many people think that, oh, the Bible's in English and the King James is the only authorized version. Like, oh, well, Moses should have wrote it in King James, I guess.
But Moses should have learned English, you know, from the get-go.
Yeah, what's the matter with him? You gotta go slap him around a little bit. So they're willingly ignorant. They don't want to burn, okay? So they don't admit that there was a great flood. So they start pushing this myth of evolution because we're getting near the end. Now Satan obviously knew we were getting near the end because he read the prophecies of how long Israel had to be exiled from the land. So he's like, oh crap, they're gonna come back in 1948. So he starts setting the groundwork back in the middle of the 1800s, and he, you know, and he's like, oh, it's this and it's that, and he doesn't even know why himself. Read his works. He's like, oh, this is all based on a simple cell, and I kind of think this is what happened, and everyone builds this whole thing on it. But even Darwin himself said, if we find out that the cell is complex, this entire thing goes out the window.
Yeah, yeah.
So he thought it was just a simple cell that just kind of showed up out of nowhere. And now we understand that one tiny little cell is more complicated than running an entire big city like New York City. And not only is it more complicated, it replicates itself within a day.
It's crazy. Yeah.
So, oh, by the way, here's another one.
Okay, go ahead. Well, I mean, I've got family members, you know, I mean, not living with me, but you know what I mean, relatives out there that say, you know, I'm not afraid of your God. And
you will be, but
you cannot say, well, you're going to be, you know, I mean, because they don't care. They just refuse to listen to it, you know, and I keep inviting them to, you know, look, you know, just take a look, read it, you know, see what's, because obviously they didn't have the grounding in it, which, I don't think I would have survived without the grounding of my parents, you know, raise up a child, you know, in the ways where when they get old, they, you know, won't forget it. I don't remember the exact scripture quote, but you know, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Now, my dad fought me for close to 40 years before he died. Oh, how do you know? Oh, this and that. Well, he never really, you know, lambasted me or thought bad of me or anything, but he just wouldn't receive it. He's like, well, how do you know? I said, well, no. Well, and it wasn't like he was afraid. He just didn't believe. And he didn't believe. And now, but then, you know, literally on his deathbed, because, you know, he got so old and they put him in a nursing home, and but he didn't want to be there, you know, and nobody had the room to take him in. I mean, we live in New York City and there's no way he can even walk her. We just couldn't put him anywhere. And he is in another state. And then, like, you know, but, and it was, you know, really belligerent. So my sister didn't even want him around. And finally, when he fell one day going into the bathroom that he wasn't supposed to go into, and the floor was being mopped. So he fell and broke his hip and he wound up in a hospital. But God was so good anyway. Yeah. Because even though, you know, his own mom said, listen, I don't want to die in this nursing home. I want to die in my house. And she had a huge house. And they said, no, you got to stay in the nursing home. And she wound up dying in the nursing home. So here it comes around. Now he's stuck in the nursing home and said, I don't want to be here. And that was sad. And that was part of the judgment. So we prayed and stuff. I said, Lord, just, you know, he's clearly near the end here. Be merciful on him. And and the Lord just heard my prayer because he broke his hip. Well, why did he hear his prayer? Because he wasn't in the nursing home now. He was in the hospital. And the cool part is he loved to go down. He lived by the shore. So he loved to go down and just watch all the boats. And we used to go to boat shows when I was a kid all the time and just look at all the boats, tons of boats. Love to go look at the boats. So here he is now. He's not in a nursing home. He's in the hospital bed, and he's looking out the window at a dock, okay, where they park all the boats right outside the river over there, okay? So down by the Jersey Shore, and he's parked by the dock, and that's his view. He's looking out there, looking at all the boats, just like he loves. I say, oh, God is merciful anyway. And his wife, my stepmom, she had gone a couple years earlier, and she was very, you know, she just wanted to go home. She loved Charles Stanley, but she never told anyone she got lung cancer because she didn't want anyone to heal her. She's like, I'm done. Okay. So she kept smoking. She started smoking more when she got lung cancer. Oh, good. You know, because I don't want to be with this guy.
Yeah. Speed me up. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And, but here's where I'm getting at. All of those years, even after he was willingly ignorant after all those years. Okay. You sometimes you got to be tough. And it was Thanksgiving. And I remember we were going out. We came up and we saw him for Thanksgiving in the hospital. We went home. That was a Friday right afterwards. And then I said, well, he's like, well, how do you know? How do you know? Well, I said, you're just going to have to trust because I don't care. I said, here you are. You're at the end. What are you going to do? I said, you got a choice. You can believe him and go, or you could continue to doubt. And then what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then there you go. I said, what do you got to lose? I said, you're on your way out.
Right.
You might as well believe him.
Right.
You ever want to see your wife again? You're going to have to receive the Lord. Now I'm leaving. Goodbye.
Yeah.
You know? And that night, my sister went to go see him, and he's sleeping. He wakes up and he goes, why'd you take me out of there? It's like, out of where? He says, in there. He says, everybody's in there. She goes, well, go back in. Apparently goes back in, but that's what the Lord says. You know, he says, you're going to start to see all the people that went before you. And I know there was a good number of people that, you know, his aunts and uncles and family that did love the Lord. Okay. And he just came out and he had the biggest glow on his face, and she told him to go back in. So he said, okay. And he wakes up the next morning, that Saturday. And then the next thing you know, he's done. They come in, they gave him breakfast. He gives his obligatory joke. And the next time they come in, he's gone. Okay. And it was actually my wife and I went to see him. They called us early in the morning. He's gone. Okay. We're up there in about an hour. And I'll tell you what, Joel, he had the most peace on his face than I've ever seen in his entire life.
Okay.
So I know that's what happened to him.
Yeah,
he gave it
absolutely.
That chance on the absolutely. Deathbed, and he saw his loved ones in there, including his wife, and said, okay, I'm done, because he was fine for breakfast. He was absolutely fine. And then so they must have just said, hey, you want to go? Okay, we'll go. Now, look how merciful the Lord was, even though he was willingly ignorant for all those years, that he said, okay, you won't be in the nursing home, and okay, you could watch the boats, and now you could see your wife again.
That's awesome.
I still have that picture in my brain, and he looks so peaceful, that old craggly old man, and he looks like great. You know, where even, you know, my wife being a nurse, and I hear from other nurses, he says you could tell when someone's saved when they died, huh?
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, there's a spirit in the room, and it smells nice. Okay. And there's just joy and peace around, where you can sense the terror of someone who's died without Christ.
Yeah. Well, to add to that a little bit, my dad told me a story of a aunt to him who was on her deathbed, and she was just an evil lady. And she fought, and actually fought family members, you know, and in her death moments. And went out in a bad way. And, you know, now I don't even know her name. I don't know anything about it, but, you know, he told me about that. And then another one was a good one, was a lady who hadn't uttered a word in days, you know, laying basically in a coma, and woke up, looked at everybody. She said, of course. And she was gone. She was gone, just like that. All she said was, "Of course." And, you know, just a big smile on her face. So, you know, you can kind of determine, you know.
I wonder if that was Jesus saying, "Hey, you ready to go home?"
Yeah. You know, you have no idea. You know, I was thinking more like everything that you always wondered about, all of a sudden.
Oh, that would make sense.
Of course. Yeah. I get it now. Of course.
Yeah. I wonder. Yeah. Hey, we'll ask her when we get there.
There you go. There's another question for the list.
Put it on the list. What did you mean by this? And who exactly was in that room when you went back in there?
Yeah, right?
They're all right there.
So that is really cool. That is really cool. Yeah.
So imagine getting in by the skin of your teeth. Now, he doesn't have any rewards, obviously, but at least he's there. Like David said.
Like you're saying, at least a doorman. That's all you need to do. Yeah, that's better than the other
direction.
Come
on this way. Yeah.
Plus, Peter you get to see him again too, David, you know, in a completely different light, as a matter of fact.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So that's that. And that's what happens. People are afraid of that end of life where they're going to burn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because that fire is kept in store. So they're willingly ignorant. So we pray that if you're willingly ignorant, that you would stop that.
Yeah.
And then you would know that this is all true. Okay, there was a great flood, and it symbolizes a lot of different things. So let's get into a little bit about what that symbolizes.
Okay.
The prophetic and eschatological themes, okay, covered with pitch. I think we might have touched on this, but the word for pitch is chafar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Okay, go ahead.
So that was atonement. Mm-hmm. So that was covered by atonement, and so we're covered. All right, and that covering keeps all the water out, if you would.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it was covered on the inside and the out.
Okay,
just like we're covered with the blood of Christ.
That's kind of like I'm trying to picture what pitch is really. You know,
it's slime that you get from the oil.
Yeah,
the oil fields.
Okay, okay. You know, I'm thinking like tar. You know, I mean, that's the vision I got of it.
Well, it's kind of when it comes out, it's got everything in there. And then it all starts to separate. Then you get the gas and the oil and the Vaseline. People don't know that Vaseline is actually petroleum.
Okay.
That's the stuff that they get off. And that dude that invented petroleum, well, he just discovered petroleum jelly. He would eat it. It's like, look, it's not dangerous. You can eat it. That's how he sold it. Mm-hmm. And then, now we got Vaseline. And then Genesis 6:8, it says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So let's look at that.
Okay.
That's interesting because the judgment was coming. And so the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's a different repent than what we did. So he's basically, he's like, I'm sorry I made them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now that's interesting because here he is. He's showing it that he is sorry. He's like, oh man, that he made them. Yet, while we were yet sinners, he still loved us.
Yeah. He knew it was going to happen. He knew it was going to happen before it happened, but. You know, it's hard to wrap your mind around it, but you know, the way I look at it, correct me if I'm wrong, because you're the guy here, but he knew they were going to do it. He, you know, cause he knew everything was going on, but when they did it, it still hurt.
Yes. And,
okay. All right. That's the only way I can make sense out of that.
Yep. And then right in verse 10 there, it says verse 8, Noah found favor or grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. And that's interesting because that's the word chen, but it's spelled C-H-E-N like in the Hebrew, but it's and then an chen. And that's, we say graciousness or favor, but it comes from chanan, which means to bend or stoop in kindness.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, so he found grace. In other words, now Noah, the Lord bent down to him and he was basically gracious to him. Hey, listen, I am going to bend down and do a favor for you. Mm-hmm. And that's what it means by he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It wasn't that Noah was like extra special, but he chose Noah for a reason. And that's mainly, interesting.
I would say mainly because he at least prayed. You know, I'm not sure that others did.
Well, he trusted the Lord, yeah. Yeah, and he was a preacher of righteousness for some odd years.
That's what got him the golden ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
You just trust the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so you don't have to be like super nice. You just do what God told you to do. Trust him. Trust him enough to say, I'm going to do what you do. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to do what you ask. I mean, and it says the basically found generation was blameless in his genealogy. Mm-hmm. These are the record. Let me see. The King James actually says it a little better. Noah was perfect in his generations. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's a better translation than some of the newer ones that all the agnostic ones of the later anything basically new translations with their new findings.
Yeah.
Since the 1800s are Gnostic. They took out a lot of stuff and they did it on purpose because they didn't want to admit that God was God. Mm-hmm. And Jesus was God. But Noah was perfect in his generations and in his genealogy. And that's what it means, because the giants were there and they have corrupted all mankind.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. To the point where the giants were fighting each other and then they started to fight with mankind and it started to infiltrate. And just like leaven, it would leaven the whole thing. But Noah had a perfect genealogy. He was the only one that was human still. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we got the humans with him, his wife and his sons and their wives too. Mm-hmm. So we want to be the same. We want to seek out what God would have us to do. So I ask you guys before we head into the second half, just do what the Lord asks you to do. Mm-hmm. He says, basically, love your neighbor as yourself and love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Well, if you call him Lord, why don't you do what he says?
Right.
That's what Jesus said. Mm-hmm. So we encourage you. Jesus is Lord. Mm-hmm. Just seek his face. Do what he asks you to do. And then basically he paid for all your sins and you can have grace like Noah did and you could be saved from the destruction. So Lord willing, we will see you guys in the second half. Bye.
Imagine a world where faith is fading, where the name of Jesus is rarely spoken. Now more than ever, the message of salvation simply must be shared. At The Last Christian, we are committed to spreading the gospel and preparing hearts for Christ's return. Through our radio shows, Bible teachings, interviews, devotionals, and prayer requests, we reach people across the globe with the truth of God's Word. Your support helps us to continue this vital mission. And as a token of our appreciation, we have special gifts waiting just for you, including exclusive resources designed to strengthen your faith and equip you to share the good news. Visit lastchristian.net today and learn more. Join us, pray with us, and be part of this incredible journey to bring hope to the world. Together, as Christians, we will share the invitation of eternal salvation around the world.
In a world where two kingdoms collide, understanding is key. Join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, for the C2K Report with hosts Rick Hidalgo and Randy Conway. Discover how to establish your house as an embassy of Christ and navigate the clash of two kingdoms. Learn practical steps towards self-governance, from authentication to setting up your house, and access a wealth of resources in our document library at c2kreport.com. Empower yourself with knowledge and take control of your spiritual and earthly journey. And don't forget to check out shopyourfarm.com, a virtual farmer's market connecting you with quality, faith-based products and services. For more information about the C2K Report, be sure to visit c2kreport.com and shopyourfarm.com.
KRRB. Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
So look at that. We made it back. Isn't that amazing?
Amen. We're here.
Amen. Amen. So we were talking about some fun things before we went. So let's keep moving on, or else we'll be staying on one topic forever here.
Well, I'm gonna stop you right away because I got a question.
Oh, okay. Well, there's a new road. Let's do that.
Well, I mean, God destroyed the earth with water.
Mm-hmm.
And the promise, and I know we haven't got there yet, but if I don't ask it now, I'll forget. He made a promise that he'd never do that again with the rainbow. My question is, why did he say he's never going to flood the earth again? And, you know, because that's an effective way to get rid of folks, right? Just to do that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't he do it? And the only thing that I have ever thought of, and I want your opinion, is because he saw all of the horror that was involved in all of these people perishing. You know, he loves everybody. And all these people and all these animals and even the little ant, it was hard for him to watch creation destroyed in that fashion. I don't know if you see a question in there or not, but that, you know, that's...
Yeah,
that's,
yeah, you're wondering why he never said with water again.
Right, and goes with fire next time.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't exactly think it was because he was in horror for what had happened, because obviously he knew it was going to happen. But think about it. You know, you have a 200 million man cavalry coming out of the abyss that can sting people and make them in torturous pain for 5 months and they can't die. Mm. That's a little bit worse.
Yeah, so, it is a lot worse. I don't
think it's the horror part. I think it's more topographically, if you would. Because if we go back to, you know, creation in the beginning, if you look at the planet, everything was smaller.
Right.
Okay. Because all the continents fit together, and then all the water was underneath, and it was the land came out of the water. Mm-hmm. And if you read it, you can, you know, you can really surmise that there was no oceans as we know them today.
Right.
There was lots of bodies of water because you need bodies of water to do stuff. But there was no ocean, so there wouldn't be ocean-going vessels and everything, and that's why they thought Noah was crazy.
Right.
You're building a boat? What is that all about? You know, because imagine the Earth being more compact. Mm-hmm. That would answer a lot more questions. That would account for what the people call the dome being over the top, the firmament now. Mm-hmm. It would account for the higher air pressure that was there. It would account for the same temperature worldwide. Mm-hmm. It would also answer this question, because now it broke, the fountains of the deep broke, and you can see it cracked, and you can see the ring of fire where it expanded.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So now the Earth is technically bigger, okay? But all that water that was underneath came up, and it flooded, and now it's just kind of settled back down again. Mm-hmm. So it was this chaos going on, and then all the water that melted in kind of fit it. So if that water was going to melt in from the canopy, it's got to have a place to go, or else we wouldn't have land again. It would just be a big water ball.
Right.
All right, so God expanded it so it had a place to go. And you see the Mariana Trench is 7 miles deep and different things like that. So And even the Bible itself said hell has expanded itself. And why did it expand? Well, because of judgment. You had to have a place to put all these Nephilim spirits that he's about to kill. Okay, so now you got all the human spirits and you got all these Nephilim spirits, which weren't supposed to be there. So hell has expanded itself, and hell is Hades in the center of the earth. It had to get bigger, made everything else bigger, busted the water molecules and all this stuff here. So the point is, it's already expanded. So there's no more mechanism for another flood to come.
Okay, that makes sense.
He can come back, and the electromagnetic pulse of the creator of the universe appearing in the sky would probably change a few things.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Going to electroshock you all back into coherence.
Right.
And that is when he comes a second time to rule, and there's a sword that comes out of his mouth and judgment on all the earth. Yes, that's the word of God. And yes, how do you think that's going, if that's going to kill everybody there, it's got to be a pretty powerful weapon. So all this stuff's going to melt and everything's, so that's all going to burn. Okay. And when it burns again, it'll shrink back down. Because it's burning off all the dross and stuff like that. So the mechanism for the flood isn't there, but that, the whole rainbow leads me into somewhere else. You want to go there?
Sure, wherever you want to take us.
All right. So Revelation in chapter 5, it talks about, you know, he's opening the seals on the scroll. Remember the great contract? The first seal he opens is what?
I don't remember
the white order. Horse.
Okay. I don't remember the order.
So it's the white horse. And on the white horse is the rider, and he's got a bow. And everyone equates that, for the most part, not every last one, but most people equate that to he's got like a bow and arrow. He's got this, and he's got a bow, but he doesn't have any arrows. So that means this and that and the other. It's not an archer bow. It's similar to the promise of the rainbow that he will not bring judgment. And that's what you have to look at.
And I see also he was given a crown. I've always equated the crown with heaven. So what's up with a crown here? That's an earthly crown.
Yeah, so he was given authority to rule.
Okay, that's what I figured, but I just wanted to clarify.
And that's what, who knows? Maybe it's his new crazy Mahdi with the, you know, with the, the toque on. You never know. Our buddy L.A. did an interview with him, and it's just more Islam rhetoric.
L.A. actually interviewed this guy?
Yeah, but he wouldn't actually meet with him because he was afraid of, like, actually confronting him. So he said, oh, you just present the questions, and we'll film him answering the questions.
Oh, wow.
So it was all set up, and it's like, it's ridiculous. But he did it because he's like, okay, here's your platform. You want to tell people.
Well, for those of you that don't know it, L.A. Marzulli is who we're talking about. So, you know, you can go. He's got a YouTube channel. He's been on our show in the past, and I hope to have him on again. I just wanted to give him that little bit of a plug there, David, because we mentioned him.
Yeah, he interviewed the guy. That's the same Muslim rhetoric. Oh, this guy said that he was the Mahdi, and he said this, and he was a friend of Muhammad, so that means I am the Mahdi. All this nonsense. Endless genealogy. Nothing about salvation or what it is. It's just some lineage of how now all of a sudden, you know, he's the guy. So, oh, because it's me, because he said it's me. Just nonsense. Anyway, that's my story. Where was I? That's a bow. The white horse has a bow, which is a promise. So he comes like a king, but he comes conquering and to conquer, but he doesn't conquer by fighting them. He conquers them with a false promise.
Is that the same?
He comes on a white horse because it's the false Messiah. And surprisingly enough, their Mahdi will come out of a cave on a white horse.
Yep, there you go.
So, and with a promise, I'm going to bring peace to the world because that's the promise. So there's the rainbow that we're talking about here. They kind of hijacked it. So when in Genesis 7:16, it said the Lord shut him in. So you notice that Noah didn't go in and close the door.
Right. Right.
So that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Not really sure why, you know, what the deeper meaning is that, but the fact remains that it was God that shut him in. So he couldn't shut that door. What would it mean if he shut it himself? I don't know. But it's hugely significant that it was God that closed the door.
Maybe it was impossible for him to close that door. Maybe
that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, you know, too heavy, too whatever. But that again, to me, that's another representation of the rapture, because we don't have the ability to make that happen. Only God can. He's the only one that can open that door, and get us out before it slams it shut.
Yeah, I mean, similar. Enoch, remember, was raptured up beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then Noah was closed in. So if this is analogous to Israel being saved during the tribulation, when it says, hey, they're going to run away and then God's going to seal them in, probably Petra, we'll see. And we got a buddy who's over there right now, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. So God's going to seal them in. He's going to find a place and he's going to close that door, similar to here.
Right.
It's God calling his people. So we do see that in Revelation 7. Remember that book?
Mm-hmm. Got it up.
After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not neither the sea nor the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And it was 144,000, yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they were forbidden to hurt the earth until these 144,000 were sealed.
Okay.
So this is similar reconciling there. And then we see Ephesians 1. And it is chapter 1, verse 13. It said, in whom you have trusted, that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So that's what you're talking about when Christians are sealed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're sealed in and God can seal that up. So then that leads to the question, if he can seal it up, can you get out?
Well, we know you can walk away from salvation, but you know, you're not going to lose it. You know, if you've got it and it's real, you're not going to lose it, but you can walk away from it. And that's that's even a scarier thought to me.
Right? Why would you do that?
Mm.
So
get it.
It's also, you know, if we look at something like the 10 virgins, remember those, those young ladies,
waiting so, when they didn't get their oil.
they weren't ready.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the bridegroom came and at midnight, the cry was made and the bridegroom came. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people use this as a rapture verse. It's not a rapture verse. Okay. Mm-hmm. But because he's talking about Israel, this whole 23, 24, and 25 pretty much all of the gospels are talking to Israel because that's what they were waiting for. But these specifically, the prophetic events. Now, if you have a wedding, not everybody's a bride, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So obviously, one's a groom. You got the parents of the bride, the parents of the groom. You got the priest or the rabbi or whatever, you know, whatever you want to call them. You have wedding guests and, you know, there's parables of the wedding guests that Jesus tells.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have the, you know, the bridal party. That's so the groomsmen. And I believe the 10 virgins are the bridal party.
Yeah. Makes sense.
That was there. And it would have to do with Israel because obviously Israel's, you know, it's Jesus is getting married and so he's going to have the bridal party is going to be Jewish girls. Same with the 144,000. That's a analogous of the groom's party because they followed him around. They sang a new song. They were young virgin men. So it kind of fits the narrative here. So, but some of them aren't going to be ready.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right. And half of them weren't. They say, oh, you don't have any oil. What do you mean oil? Well, oil represents the Holy Spirit. So there are some that will be ready and they'll see the Holy, they'll hear the Holy Spirit, you know, but they, some of them won't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where he closes the door. And he said, afterward, the other virgins came. So they went and they had to go find oil. Oh, where's this Holy Spirit thing you're talking about?
Yeah.
That's analogous to that, at least.
Yeah.
But he answers, no, you don't know the day or the hour. And he said, the door's closed.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So it's too bad. Once the door's closed, those people couldn't get back in.
We've all experienced that in life at least one time where, you know, you went somewhere and, you know, you just missed the bus or you just missed the train or you just missed the cab or whatever it was. You just missed it. Just barely. Just you know, just a little bit.
You don't want to miss that last one.
Yeah. But, you know, yeah, right. That's the whole point. You don't want to miss this one. And you don't have to.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's also the timing, because he closed the door, right? And he said, and it came to pass after 7 days in Genesis 7:10 that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. And read the rest of it. We've seen it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth in the 600th year of Noah's life. In the second month, the 17th day of the month, that same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why the second month and the 17th day of the month?
Yeah. Again, well, to me, that's, again, you're just marking calendars. Maybe I'm wrong, but it's all about timing. It's all, you know, because if the Essenes could figure it out, you know, I mean, it's got to be there, right?
Yeah. You know what's really cool? Is they're all prophetic dates.
Okay.
I thought, right. Let's see if we can look this one up. So if you have the second month, you're into the fall feast days. So that's a whole nother topic, but it falls on the same feast days. I believe that's not Atonement, Sukkot, maybe, or I will have to look that up, but it has that prophetic reference there. It eludes me at this moment. I want to talk about the 7 days beforehand because it was common back then to mourn for 7 days when somebody died.
Oh, okay.
And so now you see, if you work out the years of Methuselah, remember Methuselah?
Mm-hmm. All right.
It says his Methuselah means that his death will bring, and it implies the judgment. Because Enoch named his son Methuselah for that reason. You say, okay, 969 years from now, that's when it's all going to come. Imagine saying that, you're naming him now, and he lives 969 years, and it still didn't come. Talk about that. So he finally dies, and they're like, okay, the judgment is here. They've been looking at this for 900 years. They've been looking for this, and it's finally coming, you know? And if you work it out, Methuselah died the exact same year of the flood. Mm-hmm. And there's other books that are written that says it was actually, that's what caused the flood. And that's why they waited 7 days for the mourning period for Methuselah.
To be over, yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, but it also, like everything else, it has the implications in there. It's the wedding, okay? So there's a time you prepare for the wedding for 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the 7-year tribulation that's coming up, and it's warning period. So there's a lot to the week that was in there, in Daniel's week in chapter 9.
Mm-hmm.
So the 7 days is prophetic as well, and that's after that. It started to rain. So they're for a week wondering what people are going on. Oh, look, Noah's in the boat. It's Thursday already. What's he, insane? Yeah. What's wrong with this guy?
Yeah.
You know, and then they're having parties on Friday night.
Gotta do some work on these numbers. You know, I mean, you talk about them a lot, and unfortunately I haven't written everything down, but I can't remember them all.
I've got
to work on these numbers, you know, and you know me, I'm terrible at math, but you know, I'm still going to get into it.
Think of them as pictures.
Yeah, I'm going to get into it. Trust me, I am.
Yeah.
You've got me pictures. Completely.
Seven means this. 10 means that.
Yeah.
12 is this.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Still trying to figure out what 24 means. Because the 24 elders. I'm looking at that for 40 years, and I have no idea. And Noah is also a preacher of righteousness, according to 2 Peter 2:5. But it doesn't say that. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
The Bible doesn't say that Noah went around preaching for all those years.
No.
Mm-hmm. But it's in the other books.
Okay, yeah.
Hey, Noah, he would preach.
I don't know where I heard it, but as a child, I remember in a Sunday school class or something, you know, that Noah had tried to help other people or something to, mm-hmm. you know, draw them in, but they all laughed at him and, you know. Now, where that story comes from, like I said, I was a little bitty kid when I heard this. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where they got it from.
That's where we get it, but it's not in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. So there's obviously other books
mm-hmm.
that were around that were written, and that's the point here.
Yeah.
Is, you know, to we normally dip into them. We're not going to dip into them today, but yeah, it's found elsewhere. Just like when mm-hmm. Jude talks about Michael the archangel wrestling with Satan over the body mm-hmm. of Moses.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
where did he get that from?
Yeah. Yeah, that's not in there. Yeah. Okay.
And then when Jesus talks about, hey, you're not married in heaven, you'll be like the angels. That's not in the Old Testament either.
Mm-mm.
That's found in another one of the books. So as far as that goes, there is a set of books that are imperative. We'll hit this again. And Ezra talks about this in the Apocalypse of Ezra, or Second Esdras, as sometimes it's named. He talks about that. He says specifically there will be a set of books that are imperative.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is what you need to know. And then for other learning, and someone wants to seek out more, there will be this other set of books.
Yeah.
Including Second Ezra or the Apocalypse of Ezra. Mm-hmm. That's just one of them. So there is that. And the problem is if you get too many of them, it's too much for anyone to handle. So
yeah.
God in his wisdom boiled it down and said, okay, this is the crux of everything.
Mm-hmm.
All you need for salvation is in here living a godly life.
Right.
So if you're not into the other books, that's cool because you'll have everything you need in here.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone is seeking more wisdom from God, hey, there's other books which shed light on what he's talking about.
They're just references. Is all
yeah, like reference.
Reference material.
Some of our favorites are Enoch and Jubilees, mm-hmm. and there's a bunch of other ones. Mm-hmm. You ever read Bell and the Dragon?
Not to my knowledge, no.
No, that's like an extension of Daniel.
Okay.
And then there's one that comes before Daniel too, and it talks about him as a kid and how righteous he was.
Mm.
And then there's the Prayer of Azariah. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego?
I do, yeah.
Okay, well, his name was Azariah, mm-hmm. I forgot the Hebrew name. So and Mishael. And basically, they were praying while they were in the fire.
Yeah. And three went in and four came out.
Yeah, and they had to, so there's this big long prayer. Some name it the Prayer of the Three Jewish Boys and some of the Prayer of Azariah. Mm. But it's just blessed is the Lord on the hills, blessed the trees, bless all the, you know, the birds, bless everything. And it goes on and on and on and on. And it's like this 20-minute just praising the Lord and lifting up his name in the fire. And it talks about how there was basically a whirlwind in the fire that kept everything away from them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I guess they got the fire so hot it created a tornado inside, which was the thing that God used to keep all the fire away from them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Not to mention Jesus in the middle hanging out.
Yeah. Not to mention that's not the first time that we've seen a fiery tornado do something to either. You know?
Yeah, they're all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
We got Moses. Mm-hmm. 40 years they saw that nice, cool, fiery tornado.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So that's neat. Mm-hmm. So some of the other fascinating observations, the ark as a template for the tabernacle and for Jesus. Okay. So the Ark of Noah and the Ark of the Covenant are both covered in wood, contain items for preservation, associated with the presence of God and salvation.
Amen.
Okay. And the tabernacle also follows God-given dimensions and has three parts, like the Ark's levels. So you got the outer courts, the inner courts, and then the Holy of Holies. And then we have the three levels of Noah's Ark. So Noah's Ark becomes a microcosm of salvation, just like the temple and just like the cross. The cross. Right. Isn't that fun?
Yeah, that's good. I like that. That's good. And three and, you know.
Yeah, so, and imagine that. So here's the Ark of Noah and then the Ark of the Covenant. I wonder if we're going to see that again. That's going to be fun.
I don't think we've ever talked about it that much as far as, you know, do we really believe the Ark of the Covenant is going to be found? And, you know, I don't have the magic answer. But I think we will at some point, David, whether or not it's in this life we have now or if it's in the afterlife, for lack of a better term, you know, after the return of Christ, where he rules and reigns, you know, maybe that's when it shows up. I don't know.
I don't know. So here's some Hebrew wordplay. Noah means rest or comfort.
Okay.
So we can find rest in the salvation that he brings. And, you know, even though the chaos is going on all outside, he's in there inside the boat. You know, and all the animals are in there inside the boat. I often see scenes and the people go, oh, the animals are, they're all like scared and this and that and the other. And I often wonder if that's the case or if he just like, it just floated.
Yeah. I've wondered that my whole life. I think, you know, okay, is it turbulent? Well, in my opinion, and it's just an opinion, I think it was probably smooth as silk. And that thing just kind of floated along. I mean, after the rain stopped is what I'm talking about. Just, you know, just kind of cruising
along. I'm wondering if that
along.
Even on the way up, because when we see the flood stuff, we can see the waves, and that's what the sediment are. When you get the different sediment layers, it's just a wave coming in and then a wave going back. So was that like a big giant wave that just kind of went like this? Or was it?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, because it says rest and comfort. And then ark, do you know that was used for Noah's or Moses' basket as well?
Oh, that's right. That's right.
It was the same.
Yeah.
And it was only Noah's ark and Moses' basket. So Moses was in an ark too.
Yeah.
So here is salvation through Noah and then salvation through Moses, what he's going to bring. Because he was God's called person. In either case, you know, Jesus is now the ark. Okay. And there's only one way to heaven, and that's by going through him. And he came down and he took your place with that sin that you were required to pay for. And he paid for that with his own blood. So I would highly recommend that you accept that contract and just learn to live for Christ. It's real simple. Just Jesus, yes, I want to live for you. And give you my life and show me where to go next. So Lord willing, we'll see you guys on the next one. You have a blessed day.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Looking for bold, faith-filled inspiration? Tune in to The Last Christian Radio Show, available on KRRB Revelation Radio 1700 AM in East Texas and internationally syndicated in over 160 countries on revelationradio.net. This powerful program dives into faith, hope, and salvation. Join us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central for life-changing conversations and messages.